Well, we finally got to the end of Psalm 119. And I missed the last two sermons. Were they any good? I better listen to them online, hadn't I? And just, Thanks to all those who joined us in that series on Psalm 119. All 26 sermons that took place on that one psalm. Well, we thought after Psalm 119, we better have a bit of relaxation. So we're doing a short series on holidays. Because it's holiday season, isn't it? And I can't remember what all the titles are, but we're going up the mountains and we're going to have different encounters. And today we're starting in the best place, by the sea. You know, sea is lovely, isn't it? And we're just taking some of the biblical stories and saying, well, so what happened there? But before we do, I want to talk about holidays, because holidays are wonderful things. But sometimes at a time we just turn off. But actually also there are times when God speaks into our lives because we're less busy. It's often the times I find that I get the deepest sense of moving on and God speaking about the next chapter or the place, what the things that we've got to accomplish next. Because at other times I'm so busy doing the next thing and the next thing, next thing, I just don't think beyond that. And God speaks into us sometimes in that space. So those of you who are planning holidays, I want to say, be open to hearing from God whilst you're on your holiday. Be open to hearing from God to speaking into your life, the next challenge, the next thing that is before you, because God will. And it's in that space of not having to rush to work and do all the things and care for the family and the turmoil and all those things that often you find God speaks. It's a time when you can actually sit and have a cup of coffee over a, just looking over something and sitting there for an hour and not thinking, I ought to be doing something, that God speaks. It's a time when you're rushing and walking that long distance and you're just talking with someone, that life starts to make sense again. And holidays are important. We often think of them as a luxury. But God made us as people of rhythm. And the trouble is we've forgotten rhythm in life, haven't we? We've forgotten that the seventh commandment was there. 6 days shall you labor and then a day of rest. Even God took a day of rest. And holidays are often the catching up of those days of rest you haven't taken. So having a holiday, don't feel guilty. But do engage with God through that time. And so, by the seaside. I love the seaside. I love the sort of rocky cliffs of Cornwall. Yes, I mentioned the C word, and they're even better in Devon. I love the long walks you can have by some of the coasts of Essex, the wildness of the coasts of Norfolk, and you can go round the country, and but every time where the sea is engaging with the land, there is a sense of power. And it was by the sea that tonight's story happened in Luke chapter 5. It was by the sea. And maybe not what you would be expecting as you go for a walk by the seaside to be encountering God. But in verse 1 of chapter 5, we have the sea as the place of encounter. One day Jesus was standing by the lakes, Lake of Gennesaret, and people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. There was an encounter happening. An encounter with the word of God was happening and the hearers were hearing and the spirit was moving and the people were encountering God's word. Over the last 26 weeks, we've spoken a lot about the word of God. It kept coming up in Psalm 119, didn't it? But it still comes up. God's word. And Jesus teaching the people were listening to the word of God coming from Jesus as he taught. And people were encountering. Maybe you don't feel you've encountered lately. Maybe you don't feel you have had time to encounter God. Let me encourage you. Take some time and absorb yourself in the Word of God. There are many ways you can do that these days. There are online apps for those of you who know about such things. And for those of you who don't, there is still the scrolls around somewhere. But the Word of God is still the life-changing power. And for the people who were crowding around Jesus, they were there because they were expecting something. Because Jesus' reputation had already started. They were absorbing the Word of God. The crowds were so many that Jesus, seeing a boat, got into it and was pushed away from shore so he could speak to even more people. And this enabled the people to see Jesus for themselves. They were able to see Jesus in verse 3. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. The encounters of meeting with Jesus, the encounters of being taught by Jesus, was that which was going to be life-changing to so many people over the next 3 years. And Jesus used this illustration of water just to speak to the people, and something spectacular was going to happen as the story continued. When was the last time you saw Jesus for yourself? You encountered him for yourself. When was the last time you were able to say, I know I heard from Jesus on this occasion? The people who were there were intentional on hearing from him. They could have just walked aside. They could have walked away. But they didn't. They stopped to listen. And you know, we can be so busy going from here to there to everywhere that we fail to be intentional to stop and listen to Jesus. I believe God's saying to many of us that it's time to stop. Not stop with no aim, but stop to listen. Listen to what God wants to speak into your life. To some, God wants to speak the message of hope. You've lost hope. You're feeling despair. That same Jesus who taught about life, talked about hope and brings hope. Have you heard the message of hope into your life recently? To others, he wants to speak the message of peace and calm. To others, there'll be a challenge, the moving on, but to take up a next challenge. But to hear, we need to be intentional about stopping to listen. Verse 4 continues. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Something very powerful in that very sentence, isn't there? Those sentences. After all, Simon was a professional fisherman. He knew his trade. He'd been up all night, and he probably would be thinking something like, who does he think he is? After all, I've been fished, but because it's Jesus, I will do what he says. Have you been working hard but sensing no achievement and are ready to give up? Maybe it's in your own business, your own trade, and you're thinking, why am I keeping going? Maybe you can think of all sorts of things you're not able to go on with because you are tired and worn out. And Jesus comes to Simon, as he will come to us, and he may well say to us, you know that thing you've been doing all your life? Do it again, but trust me. Do it again, but trust me. And see what I can do. A little boy went crying to his father, I can't do it. I can't do it. And the father says to the boy, have you tried everything? Yes, Dad, I have tried everything. No, you haven't tried everything. Yes, Dad, I have tried everything. You haven't asked for my help. As I read this very short obedience, there is a sense that they probably had tried everything and gave up. And now they're getting the help of their Saviour, of Jesus. And things are now going to be different. We are so good at being people of habit, doing the same thing in the same way, and not actually asking Jesus to come into our normal, our everyday lives. I mean, you know, these are fishermen. They do it all the time. They know how to go and get fish. And they had worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. Yet, because Jesus has asked them, they will now go and be obedient. And we see that actually, when they had done so, when they had been obedient, when they had taken that step with Jesus, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. And so they signaled to other partners to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full, they began to sink. I wonder what the conversation was that evening. What happened there? You see, this morning, they'd come in having fished all night and caught nothing. Along comes Jesus. They hear some teaching, the word of God. Then they're obedient to what Jesus says. And then they receive far more than they would have got on a good night's fishing. Probably far more than they'd got on week's fishing, because they had asked Jesus and had the help of their Saviour. Are we running and doing everything so much in our strength that we're just not getting the blessing that God wants to give to us? We all know that old hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And I believe that at this holiday time, at this season of refreshment, it may be that today we need to say, "Okay, I'm going to do it your way, Jesus. Just tell me how. And let me see you doing it through me." Place of seeing God at work. Before I go on, just think to yourself, is there something that you have been battling through on your own that it's time to just hear the voice of Jesus telling you what to do? I wonder what it would be if we were people who were so led by the voice of Jesus that we just did obedience. Jesus speaks, we follow. It's interesting because Simon here, this is the first encounter that's going to transform his life and thousands of lives yet to come. This is Peter, Simon Peter, the guy who's going to preach on the day of Pentecost. At the moment, here he is, not catching many fish. And as we read this story, we have the sense of a not-so-ordinary guy who's not very good at his job, who's struggling, who Jesus has said, "I'm going to put my finger on your life, and through you, I'm going to do something amazing." And the only qualification Simon had was that word, obedience. Not skill. He didn't even have some good theology. He wasn't totally skilled in every way. He was just obedient. If you want to be big in God's eyes, it starts with an act of total obedience of God, being listened to and trusting God. Are you fighting God on something at the moment? Are you fighting God, saying, "Yes, God, I know what you're saying, but I don't want to do it," and then expecting God's blessing? Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Amazing. In that moment of the miracle of God providing through Jesus, through obedience, through all that has happened, they come to a realization of who they are in relationship to God. And I'm sure many of us would have done exactly the same, wouldn't we? "Hey, I'm not worth it. You can't mean me." Remember who this is going to be? Simon Peter, this is going to be the guy who's going to preach at Pentecost. This is going to be the guy who's going to go and turn things upside down. He's going to be praying for people outside the temple gates and healing them. This is the guy who Jesus is going to use alongside many, many others, as he has down through history. And this, although he doesn't verbalize it for some time, is when he recognized Jesus as the Son of God. Go away from me, Lord. I am not worthy. But Jesus knows he is, because of what Jesus is going to do for him and what Jesus is going to do in his life. He knows he's going to be worthy, just as each one of us are. And so when Jesus starts to move in our lives and we start to see things happening, we don't need to go, oh, go away from me, Lord, I'm not worthy, because he's made us worthy. Our response simply needs to be, have your way. Have your way. Jesus' response to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And so they pulled their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, there's so much in that sentence, isn't there? So much in those few words. They'd just been saying they're not worthy. And Jesus says, but I have a plan for your life. I'm going to use you, and you're going to fish for people. And their response was not, well, let's see if it fits in my diary. Lord, I've got a life plan. My life plan is this. Could you just kindly fit your plans for my life in with my life plan so that I don't not reach my ambition? It's none of that. There's a simplicity in their response. They leave everything and follow Jesus. Being in the center of what Jesus wants is far more important to them than their possessions, than their boats, than their career ideas, than their ambition. But being where Jesus wants them to be is the most important thing for them. By the seaside, by the sea, are you open to taking time to be refreshed? To taking time to hearing Jesus simply say, do this. And when he does, you see what Jesus can do through you. Are you open to seeing God doing through you more than you can imagine? But not responding with go away, but responding with here I am, Lord. Use me. Not responding with my life's plan is this, but simply, I give up all, Lord, to follow you wherever you may call me to go. What would that look like for you this summer? what are the steps you are going to take to be really intentional in listening for the word of God, in acting in obedience, in discovering what God can use you for, in responding with an openness to be what God wants you to be, giving up all your agendas to live His. And you thought holidays were a time to kick off your heels, to wear shorts where people who you know won't see you, and therefore you're allowed to wear the socks as well as the shoes and the shorts. You thought it was a time where nothing was going to happen apart from the odd queue on the motorway. But maybe our encounters through our holidays will be encounters with God that will totally change us as disciples, and be consistent this year as we each individually seek God with our text for the year, that we may know God better.